It's National Trivia Day.
Oh, damn.
In honor of that, we'll start with this question.
Gosh.
Which former Pacer is known for his delights in oracle exhalation?
Al, I don't even know what three of those words even mean. Reggie Miller. That's a Pacer. Damn.
Clearly, you haven't been brushing up on your words of the week. Oracle exhalation. Okay.
Breathing out.
Let me put it in Gary terms. Which former Pacer likes to breathe in people's ear?
Oh, okay. Got it. I know.
Say the answer.
I see him blowing in LeBron's ear right now, but I can't verbalize. What are his initials?
Sir a lot. Sir, fill in the blank. Sir.
Lance Stevenson. Golly. You were like, Lance. They can see that, L.
Rhymes with prance.
Lance Stevenson.
Oh, man. Good thing, guys, is that if you, as we say, welcome to the L. Duncan Show, starring Gary Stricey, if you came here for NBA trivia, turn away.
If you came here for big words you can't understand, you are in the right spot.
Lock in, baby. What's up, Gary? Yeah, it is great National Trivia
back.
Day. We're gonna get to all that because I have a bone to pick with trivia, in particular being a sports person in a trivia world.
Good.
We, of course, have the NFL playoff picture.
Boom.
Things about to get lit. Big weekend.
Yep.
Who will lock down a playoff spot?
Week 18. So much up for grabs. So much so that, 10 quarterbacks are sitting because they don't have to play.
Correct. Some of the names.
Get your rest.
Not a great list of names. Still playing for something.
Yep.
Michigan and Washington definitely playing for something.
I was.
Get into that.
I don't think I've ever been more wrong.
Yeah. You were incredibly wrong.
And the people
wrong.
In the Instagram comments made sure that I was aware of that.
Sure. No, they'll always
thank you and I'm sorry.
We'll get to a little NBA because we've got a thunderous performance to discuss. But first, before we get to any of that, what up? I gotta be honest, you guys. I know I just joined the Apple Watch.
New Apple Watch?
This is annoying.
Well, maybe because you're not wearing it correctly.
It just keeps, am I not? It keeps.
You're wearing it like a bangle.
Yeah.
It's not a piece of jewelry. It's a piece of wearable tech.
Where are you supposed to wear a watch except for on your wrist?
Well, I know, but you see this? No movement. You can do that, and that thing might fall off your wrist. You can wear that on your bicep. Why is it so loose?
It told me to breathe, and I don't like that. I don't like telling me what to do. I paid for you. I tell you what to do. You don't tell me what to do. How you doing, Gary?
They're getting smarter. I'm doing better, but as you know, I'm a watch aficionado, so it's really kind of like
bothering
it's irking
you?
Me. I can't even look at it.
Ooh, it's sliding.
Stop. You can't do that.
Oh, no.
You can put that on your bicep. You need to tighten that thing up. You know what I'm going to get you? I'm going to get you a Velcro strap so that way you can adjust it because did you know?
Pause. If you're just tuning in and you just picked up this podcast or show.
This is a sports show.
There's straps. There's sliding. I promise you, we're going to eventually talk about sports, Gary.
This is a watch show. I'm going to get you a Velcro strap. So that way, did you know that you're right hand dominant? So your left wrist is much smaller than your right wrist. So if you try to put that watch on your right wrist, it would fit snug. But because your left is your non-dominant, I'm going to get you a Velcro strap. It's adjustable.
I got to be honest. I tuned you out 30 seconds ago. What?
Don't worry about it. I got you next week when you get back from Houston.
How are you feeling?
I feel great. 2024. It's the month of my birth. You're welcome, everybody.
Oh, yeah. When is your birthday? I feel like this is something I should
know. Actually, we're taping this on January 4th. This is my last week of being 36.
Okay.
Damn.
Don't do that. We're not about to do that.
All right, fine.
You start doing.
Well, I was saying to our colleagues and our friends, this was the first year that I was full blown host of everything. Mom, dad, sister, her new fiance got me this cool hoodie. They all came to the house. Girlfriend obviously was there too. I was hosting. I was full blown host, driving everywhere, paying for everything, cooking everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a full-time job. People do that voluntarily.
Yeah, except for with little people who actually aren't self-sufficient at all.
Crazy.
Got to keep them alive too, Gary.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Teach them
old
how to
people.
Wipe. Yeah.
I mean, my parents aren't old, but got to keep them alive too.
Okay. A I love that Gary keeps describing people that are just like a little bit older than him as basically invalids.
A little bit older.
I have to teach them to wipe themselves. I had to guide my mom.
60, 67? Anyway.
I'm sure she loves that you threw that out there as well. Okay. NFL playoff weekend.
Golly.
I actually like when it comes down to the final weekend. I mean, who doesn't? I don't feel like that's like revelatory. But we have 9 teams that already clinched their postseason berths, including 5 in the NFC. And so that means what? 5 spots are on the line in week 18. Mm-hmm. Before we get into like the scenarios, this time of the year for people like me and you, and people like me and you, I mean losers. Well, when our teams are losers and they're essentially not playing for anything, I mean, your team as the Patriots are definitely not playing
for anything. You gotta stop saying the Patriots are my team.
They're your team. Now, you're going to hold on to the Patriots because you caped for them so hard, Gary. Yeah, you're holding that L for life. You're holding it. No. Take the L and hold it, boo.
I won't.
The Patriots are yours.
Can't just bestow that upon me unwillingly. There are laws against
that. True or false that you have family that lives within the vicinity of Gillette?
Yeah.
The Patriots are yours. Okay.
I also have family that live in Baltimore.
Okay, well, I was going to say Denver. You don't want to hold the Broncos. I'm
not going to do that.
Are you one of those people that lies to yourself and says things like, you know what? It would have been nice to make the postseason, but I'm actually really looking forward to just a stress-free postseason run for other teams, and I'm good with it.
My brain is so programmed now to focus on what we do for work. I'm like, I just want games that are so awesome they're going to be cool on a SportsCenter. I don't care. I don't care who it is. If it's Lamar Jackson breaking something off, if it's Puka Nacua, I just want the players that are involved to be playing so well that we can incorporate them in our SportsCenter highlight and workshop some material. I mean, that's selfishly. It's like the I just hope that both teams have fun. I just hope that we get enough fireworks where it's going to make for an awesome 90-second SportsCenter highlight.
Okay.
Also, as it relates to this actual grouping of playoff teams, and I think that we've probably had this before, but maybe this year more prevalent than most, aside from the Ravens, there's no other team that are like, any one of those teams are standouts. They're all just like in the mix for it. And maybe that's an indication as to why there are still 5 playoff spots up for grabs between the AFC and the NFC. There are really no clear-cut favorites. Hell, the NFC South, every single team but the Panthers can win. The AFC South, damn near every single team.
Except for the Titans.
But the Titans can win it. The Bills can be, the 2 seed, but they can also be eliminated from the playoffs. Sure. There's a lot of transparency in this particular grouping of playoff teams, and I'm not too convinced or sold on any of them other than the Ravens.
We've talked about the fact that storylines are really important. And so you do always want to have like your team that it looks like they're streaking for the championship. That looks like the Ravens because it definitely ain't the Chiefs. Maybe the Niners, we don't know. The Ravens just beat them. So the Ravens are in the driver's seat right now. But we also like storylines. And when I say we, I mean me, that are a little bit petty. Like on paper 5 weeks ago, no thank you, Steelers. I don't want to see that trash in the postseason.
Yes.
However, the idea that they said we're all set on Kenny Pickett, their starting quarterback, the next franchise quarterback for them, supposedly, in favor of Mason Rudolph.
Hey.
I want that storyline. I want the Steelers to beat the Ravens this weekend and clinch an opportunity to go to the playoffs. Now, they still would need some help. They can't just beat the Ravens and get in, but they have to beat the Ravens to even have a shot. I kind of want that for that storyline alone, right? So when you look at a playoff race between like the AFC South, we just talked about that because the Jaguars have totally spit the bit. You talking about a team under the most pressure? It's the Jags. They started at 8-3. They were cruising. You were jagging on every single week.
They've been jagging off lately.
They've been jagging off every single week. They've got nothing left. People will never be able to have kids.
They've been jagging off so much that Trevor Lawrence's arm hurts.
Correct.
He can't function. He missed his first game because they've been jagging off so much.
Yeah. You can get carpal tunnel from that, I hear. Yeah. I don't know.
Damn.
Feels like a thing you...
Cite your source. Whoa, what the hell?
The curve. Hey, I just wanted to see.
Yo, we got like 14 extra cameras in here.
I keep forgetting.
They're going to catch every single angle.
Yeah.
Damn.
I keep forgetting that.
Holy smokes. Hey, real quick though, to the Steelers, in an in such a consequential game for them compared to the Ravens, who are sitting Lamar Jackson. Like, 3 weeks ago, we were talking about, yo, is Mike Tomlin going to get fired? This is going to be his first sub-500 season in 17 years as the head coach of the Steelers. But now you're introducing them as a playoff team that can cause some disruption. It also, as we stay in that division, just real quick here, I'm loving Joe Flacco. He was, you know, in front of a hot mic earlier this week and was like, I'm old enough to be some of these guys' dads. And I was doing the math and I was like, you're 38. And he said, yeah, if I made some mistakes in high school. So I was like, ah,
yeah,
there it is. But
you,
like,
start on Teen Mom.
I'm loving it. Great show. Great show, by the way. I'm like,
still?
Oh, so close. I don't know. They're okay. Probably not teens anymore.
Thank God. Okay.
Middle-aged moms.
It's movie not nearly to, as fun as it sounds.
From MTV to TLC. But anyway, it just goes to show how much changes in just a few short weeks in the NFL.
If everybody just starts losing. I mean, that's like literally everyone was like, you know what? I just really don't want this thing anymore. Yeah. I'm going to make this thing really interesting. So
the Eagles.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of.
In the vein of just wanting good storylines.
Yes.
How then do we want a division like the AFC South to play out? Do we want it to be the Texans?
Yes.
With CJ Stroud and D'Amico Ryans. You've got two rookies at the helm of a franchise in need of help. They're fun to watch.
Immediately, yes.
They're fun, right?
Because I was originally thinking, well, do we want Gardner Minshew in the playoffs? And I was like, well, that's not sexy enough. Maybe that's.
I'm so tired of hearing about Gardner Minshew's jeans.
See, there
we've
it is.
Done. We've already gone there on the storyline.
And there it is. That's why I was like, ah, it's sexy enough. Flash in the pan. It's one quick headline. But the Texans pose a legitimate threat, I think. C.J. Stroud being the rookie, D'Amico Ryans, you already mentioned it, in his first season. I just think it's just such a rags-to-riches story that if the Texans, and also it's like people in Carolina are like, damn, that could be us. That should have been us. It could have been us. And that'll be an ulterior storyline if that happens.
Forget that, because we've had that storyline.
True.
How about the storyline of Deshaun Watson watching his former team potentially play his current team
that
was fine without him.
I forgot. I totally forgot.
I mean, Joe Flacco made me forget about Deshaun.
Dude, Joe Flacco made me forget about Deshaun Watson.
Let's go with that storyline. I'm here for that storyline. I'm here for the storyline where the Texans beat the Browns in a close game. In a super tight game where Joe Flacco starred while Deshaun Watson watched it all happen from the bench. I'm here for that.
And he would have to go to Houston because...
And watch it.
Because, the Browns would have to travel.
Yeah.
Seating works out that way. Damn.
You'd have to watch the whole thing on... I think the Texans would not be a higher seed than the Browns. It feels like these are things we probably should have investigated before we...
Well, I'm just thinking, because if the Texans win the division, they host a game, the Browns can't because the Ravens already did.
Oh, right.
So... But Deshaun Watson probably want to be on the road because he knows them good spots in Houston.
Okay.
I'm not going to say that. Oh, shit. Food? You asked me. You're going to Houston for the national championship, and you're like, hey, any good places to eat?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Okay.
Folks, every now and again,
come on.
Gary surprises me.
Oh.
And then every now and again, he reveals just how incredibly basic he is.
What?
When someone asks you for a recommendation at a restaurant in a city that you used to live, they are not asking you for the recommendation of multiple major chain restaurants that are located in every major. Do you know what Gary said when
I'm gonna win this.
Me the spots that I should go eat? He goes, oh man, Houston got so many dope spots. First of all, Houston at the Galleria Mall.
No, I said in the Galleria area.
Whatever. Secondly, Papa Do's. I'm like, yes, these are both fine restaurants. They are not relegated to the city limits of Houston. I can get Papa Do's in Atlanta like I did at every major occasion growing up. I can also get Houston's in Atlanta like I did because there was one like across the street from my condo.
Did I not say, no, scratch that. Those are chains that you could probably get in Atlanta. Can I give you... And first of all, our viewers and listeners are going to come to my support. All right, Tilma Fertitta built the Papa Do's franchise.
Jesus.
All right, that is a billion-dollar machine. You can get Papa's Seafood, Papa Do Cantina. You can get every version of Papa's you want, okay? Can I give you an actual recommendation in Houston if you can get in and you're L. Duncan so you'll be able to get in?
chilies.
Baby back ribs, barbecue sauce. Have you heard of Taste of Texas?
No.
It's smack.
Is it also a chain?
No. It's a restaurant, and it is super hard to get into, but yeah. You're L. Duncan, so you'll be able to.
Ooh.
Their salad bar is in... Just please listen to me. Please listen. I pulled it up right here.
I went to Texas to get a salad. Said no one ever.
4,000 reviews, 5 stars. Do you know how hard it is to do that on the internet? 4,000 reviews, 5 stars. Go to Taste of Texas. All right. This isn't sponsored, but it can be.
When it's all said and done, yes, as we wrap up our playoff predictions, who you got winning the AFC East? Is it the Dolphins or the Bills?
Dolphins.
Who do you have winning the NFC South? Is it the Saints?
Buccaneers.
Okay.
Yeah, Buccaneers.
And who do you have winning the AFC South?
Well, give me... Oh, God, Jags.
Okay, they're jagging on. There we go, folks.
We're jagging back on.
We've solved all the
rules. I'm tossing it back to you. Do you just agree with me?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bills to win. I do think that the significant amount of injuries for the Dolphins is just a problem. I'm going to go with the Bucs.
Okay.
I can't believe the Falcons could still potentially win this division.
With a 7-9 record currently, everybody in the NFC South, the Panthers are eliminated because they've won 2 games now. That's super strange.
And then I'll go with the Jags as well. So there it is, folks. We'll see if we were right. And if we weren't, I'm sure you won't tell us about it in the comment section.
And I already apologized for my Alabama take, okay, and also my Texas take. I just was looking forward to a Bud-heavy national championship. All right. And by Bud Heavy, I mean Budweiser, Alabama, Texas, Jack Daniels straight.
Was that your Southern accent? It was.
How many times do I have to tell you Southern Korea, South Korea?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, I really want you to give me a 10-second preview of this game as Marty Smith.
Which game? The national championship?
Yeah. Well, yes.
I didn't know if we were recapping or previewing. Well, I got to tell you here, Michigan against all odds find themselves in the national championship game, and they're going up against the Washington football team led by head coach Kalen DeBoer, who got them boys firing all cylinders. Michael Penix Jr., Heisman Trophy runner-up, got some of the best weapons in college football going up against that stout Michigan defense. And I tell you what, L, it's going to be a doozy down there in Houston.
Did you say what?
Yeah, they pronounce the H's after the what?
No, they don't do that.
What?
No, they don't do that.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
I'm from the South. No one says
what. I, too, am from the South.
No.
That was pretty good, though.
That wasn't horrible. Thank it you. Sort of vacillated between Sling Blade and Forrest Gump, but it was better than I thought. Well done.
Sling Blade.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, got it. I just rewatched Forrest Gump. Great watch.
Mm-hmm.
Just a great watch.
I'm hoping that this national championship is going to be a great watch. I did feel
be.
Like, yeah. I thought, so as I'm watching this game play out, both of them, man, Michigan, they dominated Alabama that whole game. The whole time, all the PTSD from being a Georgia fan was just like bubbling up inside of me. And I was like, Denny Green it. Like at the end, when, Alabama.
Were who we thought they were?
100%. I was like, what do you do? You let them off the hook. You're letting them off the hook. You've dominated them the whole game. And then you let them come in and be Alabama and just get a couple of timely drives together. What are you doing? I was so frustrated. I was angry. And then Michigan did like the thing that the Eagles had to do a few years ago to the Patriots and just like prove that the Undertaker can in fact die. And I was happy for Michigan. I know there's a lot of people that are very anti-Michigan because of the whole like cheating thing, us against the world. They roll their eyes. Clearly, I'm never going to root for Alabama a day in my life, despite the fact that I did believe they should be in the Final Four. But I tell you what, you know who is feeling the best after Monday night? The CFP committee, man, because we got two fantastic games. The semis have always been one game's good, the other's a swing and the miss, or both of them are not particularly good. This one was fantastic. And watching Washington, once Michigan advanced, I was like, oh, Michigan's in the national championship. Then we actually saw Washington play. Michael Penix Jr., I'm sorry, call me a prisoner of the moment. I will take him over any single one of your current top draft picks. That guy can absolutely spin it. Ooh. We always spend time saying six-year seniors, oh, that's not a great thing. Why is it not a great thing? Give me all of his experience over someone that doesn't have it. He's fantastic.
Max. Hey, I said this on our last podcast, was that I don't have one, but if I would have had one, I would have given him the Heisman vote. He did everything that everybody expected him to do. We had an overtime game in the first semifinal, and then it came down to the very last play in the second semifinal. And I know I said it was going to be Texas versus Alabama, but the way Michigan's defense got after Jalen Milroe and made him look like the quarterback that Nick Saban had to bench in September, and the offense did its thing, and J.J. McCarthy's only lost one game, and now he gets to play for the whole damn thing up against the Washington team that we have both been high on the entire season. It's I said this in my Marty Smith accent about 2 minutes ago, and this is going to be the key of the game. Michigan's defense, Washington's offense, neutral site. Let's get it on!
Okay.
It's going to be a good game.
Yeah.
And you get to go. I'm pretty jealous.
Yeah, I will be there. I'm excited for this one as well. Michigan is the betting favorite to win. How do you think it's going to end up playing out?
That's not surprising.
Yeah.
I've come too far to bail on Washington. Give me Washington, because Texas defense is also very good, was also statistically one of the best defenses in the country. They get after the quarterback. I like Washington. I don't know what the spread is. I don't know what Michigan's opening up as. 3.5?
5-point favorites.
5-point?
And the over-under right now, 55.5.
Sure.
Feels high.
That feels high.
It feels high, especially because Michigan's defense is incredibly good.
That feels high.
I imagine they feel a lot of that's going to come from Michael Penix Jr. But Michigan's offense instilled no confidence in the second half of that game. They weren't particularly good. Mm-hmm. You know, J.J. McCarthy was okay. And then they put down together a nice final drive. He made some good throws. Blake Corum was nasty. He just refused to be denied. I think J.J. McCarthy said Blake Corum had the devil in his eye.
Oh.
I could see the devil in him.
What happens to some of our friends if they get some tequila in them?
Correct. But I don't see Michigan being able to go like toe-to-toe with Washington.
I don't think they have to offensively. I think they just have to limit what Michael Penix Jr. is allowed to do offensively, getting it out to his weapons, and just limiting him that way. Make him feel super uncomfortable. But man, I don't know. Washington's offense just looks potent.
Yeah, they're pretty nasty. I have to do, I mentioned this the other day on the
podcast.
Are
you grinning?
I'm hosting the concerts. Yep. So apart from, which we already revealed, apart from rooting for great storylines, things like that, when we're watching these games, we're also selfishly rooting for things ourselves. And I got to be honest, the thought of having to face off with a bunch of stand on a stage in front of 25,000 Alabama and Texas fans, I feel like I was saved by the football gods.
You think that's who's going to come to the Kids Bop concert?
I think that Alabama and Texas can't stay out of anything. I think they would have come, and I think they would have been Alabama and Texas all over that place.
Damn.
Yeah, and so I'm feeling like a little bit better about facing that crowd. I mean, here's the thing. I never regret
Fans know who you
not
are.
Not just them.
Just
I mean, I also went after Texas a couple of years ago when Texas was like, oh, Texas is back.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
They beat an uninspired Georgia team in the Sugar Bowl. I went after them too. So the thing is that, you know, I do. Like, I say what's on my mind, never purposely inflammatory. I just say what I say. But sometimes, most of the time, there's a great agreeance with people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'll see people and they'll use it as a criticism, right? Like,
yeah.
If I met you in real life, you would never say that to my face. You would be so nice to me. I actually am team that. I've said it and I stand on this hill. Talk about me behind my back. I don't care because I don't know what's happening. But to my face, be nice to me.
Yes.
The difference is most fans are like that. Like most fans will, you know, even if they're cussing you behind your back. But Alabama fans, like they like confront you. Oh. I was down in Tuscaloosa
doing sports.
I was like doing a sports center and I'm just like I'm sitting having dinner, like after sports center with like some friends, with some colleagues. What up, Christine Williamson?
What up, C-Dub?
What up, Harry Douglas?
What up, HD?
Yeah. What up, Harry Lyles Jr.? This like 65-year-old man like attacks me at the table. He's like, hey.
Verbally.
Of course.
Okay. Okay. Well, hey.
You would have heard about that story.
Saw what happened to that judge in Las Vegas. Woo! Hey, listen. I'm just, hey, whoa.
Somebody needs to fire her security.
Current events. Sony.
He like came up to me and like literally confronted me. I'm like, bro, I'm just trying to have some cheese sticks. I don't know what's happening right now.
Oh, at TGI Fridays?
What do you do? You don't need to say that. That was wrong. I was like, you need to stop right now. And
oh, he was like raising his voice?
He was mad. Like he was angry at me.
So. Neither of the Harrys stood up?
They weren't there yet.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Caitlin Clark just like wakes up.
Oh,
each morning
she just hit another three.
Yeah, and is like, I'm just gonna just see how far I can test just the limits of gravity.
So who's gonna tell me no?
She does it again. She hits like a major buzzer beater against Michigan State. It's everywhere. There was controversy. Did she get it off on time? Of course she did. And of course she's still chasing the all-time record that Kelsey Plum has. Right now, she's averaging over 30 points per game. Looks like she's going to hit it on February 15th. I mean, literally, there's a tracker for this.
Will you be there?
I hope so.
Okay.
I hope so. It would be great.
Game day starts to fire up.
College game day for women is going to be firing up January 25th. Stand by. I don't think I'm allowed to reveal yet where it's going to be, but you'll hear it here first on the
LTV. Rhymes with Diowa Pity.
That's not it at all. Oh. You're not even in the right region.
Really?
Yeah, not even close.
Best player in the country plays in Iowa City, so.
She's not on the best team in the country.
Ah,
that's a hint.
There it is.
So anytime Caitlin Clark does anything, we start going and devolving into this conversation of like, should she stay another year? She is a senior. Should she stay another year? She's got a COVID year that she could burn. Or should she go to the WNBA? And whenever that conversation comes up, inevitably people start talking about the value of NIL and whether she would lose all of her NIL money and have to take a pay cut to go to the WNBA. Which, let me just put that to rest. First of all, most of these NIL estimates or outlooks are incredibly wrong. Mm. However, the tracker says that she's like fifth on the list and makes around $800,000. This is fifth for women and makes around $800,000 from her NIL deal. Okay, this is nothing that she's confirmed, but she's with State Farm and Gatorade and she's got all kinds of stuff. This idea that you have to forfeit one for the other. The idea that Gatorade's like, we love this college girl, but when she goes pros, no thanks, folks. It's completely nonsensical and stupid. I do think Caitlin Clark is going to move in, and I don't think she's going to be impacted in any way. But when you talk about NIL.
Checks are just going to get bigger when she goes pro because then she gets a salary.
Correct. Then she gets her salary. It'll be like around $80,000 or so on top of. But whenever, and let me tell you what, I'm so happy for these kids. Get your money. Get that money. But whenever, inevitably, one of these college kids posts some kind of picture showing their lifestyle, it really does force one to wonder what they've been doing with their lives. Should they be, say, 40 or 36 years old? And you sent me a picture today that had me thinking exactly that.
Kayla Williams got it good. All right.
What was that?
Somebody get Reggie Bush his Heisman back. And I put this in the group chat with everybody on the show. And I said, this picture is why NIL will eventually, in the long run, in my opinion, save the NFL. Tom Brady on record, and a lot of these retired Hall of Fame quarterbacks are on record as saying, right now, the product in the NFL is just not good. Practice time is limited because of the collective bargaining agreement. More games, less practice time means a less crisp product on the field. You have less experience going into regular season games, and that's why the product has dipped. The scoring, for all intents and purposes, has dipped. The electric plays have dipped. But if college players like Caleb Williams and these guys who would be first round picks and first overall picks are starting to make this money and they are not having to make the decision of, I have to go to the NFL to start making a paycheck and I'm going to be a backup for a couple of years. If they can season themselves in the college game, I mean, Caleb Williams is a junior and he said, hey, I'm not going to make any decisions up until the moment I actually have to, whether it's to declare for the draft or come back for his senior season, much like Caitlin Clark with the COVID season. If the NIL money is this good that these players, and it's not just Caleb Williams, it's your position guys, it's your linemen, it's your other position and skill players. If they can make enough money to stay in college, get better there, and by the time they're in the NFL, they have an extra year or two of experience, that will, in my opinion, eventually make the game better. The product will be better. Are you... You agree or no?
So I think idealistically, I understand what you're saying, and I could see that on some level, but that would be to insinuate that people only leave early for the money. And I think that with football, timing is everything. Mm-hmm. So people are, you're already forced to stay in however many years, right? Like you can't come out early. You have to stay until you're a junior or whatever, 3 years or whatever, right? I don't think that NIL money is going to solve that simply because if you're a guy like Caleb Williams, it's much more about, rather than NIL money or staying around, it's much more about your draft stock.
Sure.
His draft stock is the lowest that it's been since he came onto the college football scene. And so I think that affects it more than, you know, being able to earn a great living and stay. Now, I think that will benefit you in a place like basketball, because I talked to basketball players who played at major, major programs, won championships, and have told me, I would have loved to have been able to spend more time in college. I would have loved to have not been a one and done. However, that's not exactly how this works for my family. And it also doesn't work that way when it means that striking while the iron is hot. Mm. If I have my best year as a sophomore in college and it means I'm going to be a top three pick, NIL money be damned. I'm going to make a hell of a lot more money doing that, right? So like, I don't think you're going to solve this idea of kids leaving school early because they're able to make a living. It's still going to always come down to, what's your draft capital?
I think those are the top-heavy players. Those are the ones that get all of the headlines. Those are the ones, the Quinn Ewers, the Arch Mannings, the Caleb Williams, who are making seven-figure NIL money. I'm talking about...
Everybody else.
I'm talking about the position players at Arizona State who are making 150 grand as a sophomore wide receiver. And instead of taking his chances as being maybe a draft guy when he's draft eligible, being a seventh-round pick or an undrafted free agent, nah. Let me pump the brakes. Let me go back for my upperclassmen seasons. I'm making 150, 120, whatever it is, six-figure money. Being a collegiate athlete, I think that's more enticing than let me take my shot at being like an undrafted free agent in the NFL where it's absolutely cutthroat. And I think that is that sliver of player in the NFL that's eventually going to help raise that performance or the drop in performance that the Tom Brady's of the world are speaking of. The outliers are the first overall picks in the first round.
Sure.
Picks, in that sense. But I think NIL money eventually in the long run, when we're looking back at this thing 10 years from now, is eventually going to be a good thing for the on-field product.
Foundational pieces.
The on-field product.
There it is.
Yeah, the periphery stuff, Caleb Williams, 21 years old. He's living in a penthouse. His Heisman trophies tucked away in a corner. Yeah, all right. People are going to have opinions and feel some type of way about that. The on-field product, I think, is going to help.
Side note, as we take you on a bit of an ADD tour,
Those
kinds of condos seem really cool in theory, but what happens when inevitably you're like, oh, I just got out of the shower. I need to like run and grab something real quick. I'm going to just sneak in. Your entire life is on display. You live in a glass box.
The only people that can see it are the 747s flying by. All right. Nobody up there looking. Actually, they might if they know it's Caleb Williams up there. My issue with living in a place like that is, damn, I forgot something in the car. I mean, hop in the elevator, 80-something stories, go to the car. Or in those places, I got to call the valet, got to go down to the car, got to go back up. That was a 15-minute trip.
Did you hear how 2% that sounded?
What does that mean? 2%.
2%?
When like someone similar to 1%?
No, it's like when, like a 2% problem is like, you know, when you complain about things that are not actually real or serious. Can you imagine how difficult it would be to come down from my 80th story penthouse, have to call the valet to bring around my Mercedes, to bring me what I need, only to then have to take the elevator back up to my penthouse? Exhausting.
Hey, can't spell elevator without L. That's how she lives her life. Listen, I'm in the burbs, man. I got a HOA.
That's true. We all know that you're not bougie. We've seen your studio set up.
That hurts. You know, I'm just trying to be more. I'm just trying to be more intentional with my money spending in 2024.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's one of those terms. There's always terms that you hear a whole ton in the first few weeks of the new year. Intentional.
Yeah, intentional
is one of them.
Motivation. What's the difference between motivated and
inspiration?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll do none of it.
We're not here for any of those things.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah. Be you in the new year. Be lousy. Be yourself. Be lazy. I'm talking directly to you, Gary. I'm not speaking in generalities. Continue to be you. Don't try that hard. Just mail it in. I don't want to see you trying to climb and excel, grow and mature. I want you to say emotionally stunted, the way I love you, exactly as you are right now.
I just feel like that was like part hypo speech, but also partly an attack. And it hurts.
It wasn't part.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I love quandaries. Do you know what a quandary
an issue has arose.
Here we go. Yeah. A conundrum.
Initially, I was like, you like quarries, like bodies of water? No, there's an N and a D in there.
Yeah.
So.
Rock quarries is really my thing. So the OKC Thunder.
Oh.
In case you don't know. Hey, NBA. Oh, you thought we were just streaking for another Nuggets versus who? Maybe the Bucks, maybe the Celtics. No, says OKC Thunder.
Nuggets, Celtics.
Yo, they're the hottest team in the NBA. And we love this. But yesterday, they had quite a quandary. One that astute observers predicted would happen 2 years ago.
When
the OKC Thunder decided in the same draft to take not one, but two Jalen Williams.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Literally, they're both called Jalen Williams. There's the Arkansas big man. There's the Santa Clara wing. Okay.
You said they're both called Jalen Williams.
Both called. It's very British. They're called Jalen Williams.
Jalen Williams, the Arkansas Jalen Williams, had a little Asian in him too, I think.
You think?
Yeah. Am I not allowed to say that?
You're just,
like an assumption?
You're just drafting him and you don't even know?
If we're doing the draft, yes.
Oh, God.
Jeremy Lin, number one overall. Victor Wembanyama, number two.
Jalen Williams with a Y. Jalen Williams, just the regular way.
Standard.
Just the standard J-A-L-E-N. Yesterday... they finally melted the referee's brains. In the second half, there was this crazy long review and everybody's like, what's going on? Why is this? What's happening? Why is this 10 minutes of stop play? What is happening? The problem was, and I'll say that Arkansas big man, I'll call him J. Will for the purposes of this. Okay. And then the Santa Clara guy, I'll call him J. Dub. J. Dub, the wing.
Uh-huh.
He had... two fouls, but the main scorebook had him as having three fouls.
Okay.
So because...
following the quandary.
Right? Okay.
Yep.
So because they were so confused over which Williams had which fouls, the refs actually had to pull up and rewatch part of the previous quarter and then try to identify which Williams it was that committed the foul so they knew exactly who to give it to. And it turns out J-Dub did in fact have three fouls.
That one.
But it took 10 minutes to sort out. And I can only imagine, like, if these officials are our Caucasian brothers and sisters, the things they're being accused of. You can't tell us apart.
Damn it, that's the one. Well, I'm glad you said it. You can't say they
look. Not all Jalen Williams that play NBA basketball look alike.
Can't say they all look the same. One of them has an Asian hue about him, I believe.
Oh, God.
But it wasn't that one. Actually, I don't know, because I'm also confused. The Thunder lost.
Yeah.
The Thunder lost, but it's all good. They don't lose very many games. Second in the West. Can we give Sam Presti like early entrance to the Hall of Fame?
You talk about a turnaround. Sam Presti was known for the tank machine and for tanking and ruining a franchise. And now look at him.
But he tanks and then drafts and then he tanks.
He can evaluate.
He's drafted like multiple Hall of Famers. Mm-hmm. I just had to look at it. He drafted Kevin Durant back in Seattle. So he drafted Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
He drafted James Harden. Mm-hmm. Drafted SGA. The Thunder, man, I wish that the big three would have stayed together. The Thunder are always that team that are going to leave us wanting more. But the way they're presently constructed, multiple Jalen Williams are throwing everybody for a brain pretzel. And now you got Chet Holmgren. Did I tell you his
rookie of the year favorite? Yeah, Cheddarosexuals.
Cheddarosexuals.
I dropped it on SportsCenter the other day, too.
So good.
It was good. I called Kendrick Perkins a Cheddarosexual. I don't think he...
To his face?
Yeah, I don't think he heard me because I feel like he...
Ew. Responded. That's all I got. Yeah. That's all I got.
Girl, you crazier than the cat done had a heat stroke.
Ew. That was softer than old people's shoes.
It's nice.
Kendrick's got some... Perkins-isms.
Yeah, his metaphors and analogies and whatnot are pretty unique.
I like what the Thunder are doing, and they're going to be a problem in the West.
They really are. They've got, you said SGA, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, top three MVP candidate. He won't win it because Joel Embiid is playing.
Scoring, right?
Yeah, he's insane. And then Chet Holmgren is a rookie of the year favorite right now.
Yes.
But I want to throw this out here, right here.
You go on.
Because it looks like this is a team that's going to do really well this year.
Yeah.
All of these teams lately... And they all have these songs that they associate with these big runs that they've been doing. Please. I'm going to look in the camera.
Oh.
Please, God, Oklahoma City Thunder, please do not use Thunder by Imagine Dragons as your official theme song to your NBA championship run. Please don't do it. Okay? There's a very obvious Thunderstruck. Okay? Hell, you could even go with Riders on the Storm, because like it's thunder as shit.
Riders on the Storm.
Thunder adjacent. Mm-hmm. But please, whatever you do, leave Imagine Dragons exactly where they belong. On top 40 radio hell.
And also in the college football season playlist. Listen, it's either them or Fall Out Boy. Who's getting the theme song this year? Imagine Dragons is busy. They're doing the Oklahoma City Thunder song.
Oh my gosh.
Looks like it's Fall Out Boy. Honorable mention, Newfound Glory.
Okay, not since 2006. You know who's playing at the ESPN college football party?
Oh man, I don't want to know because I went there last year and took a pill in Ibiza.
Yeah, it was Mike Posner. We were really excited about that too. There was like 10 of us that were really pumped about it.
I was fired up. I got lost in a tree.
What about if I give you a hint? What if I tell you my dirty little secret?
Shut up. American.
All American rejects.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, man.
Vindicated. I am selfish. I am lost.
Oh, God.
I'm right. I swear I'm right. Swear I knew it all along.
I feel like whoever's planning these parties for ESPN every year just goes back into my 13-year-old brain and is like, who did she really dig?
I'm telling you right now, it's a millennial, whoever's in charge. Katie Hennessy, you booking these acts?
Can you make it Ying Yang Twins?
It's so wild you twerk.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I mentioned that it is... that's a good way to start the trivia quandary I found myself in.
Yin Yang Twins trivia?
What is the proper way to spell twerk Ying Yang style?
Oh. Traditional spelling? T-W-E-R-K?
No.
Oh, I'm going to be mad at myself because I was a big Yin Yang guy.
Put a U in it.
T-W-U-R-K.
Burk.
Oh, damn. I wish I would have known that, but there's no way I would have known that.
It's okay.
Every time I think about the Yin Yang Twins, I think of when they did MTV Cribs and they pulled up and there was a ship in a bottle on the dining room table, and that was the only thing in the dining room. What a time. Take me back.
It's my ship in a bottle. So I started out the show by saying I get really annoyed. I like trivia.
Yep.
My parents are huge Jeopardy fans.
Nice.
Have been my whole life. So I like trivia and stuff like that.
Yep.
But as a sports person,
yep,
my biggest gripe is that when you show up to just hang at a bar with some friends, do a little trivia. We used to do it in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone always looks at you for all the sports trivia.
Okay, but you can't fault them for that.
No, but here's the thing, Gary. The sports trivia is always horrible shit no one actually knows in real life. Okay, you ready? Let's do an exercise here, all right? I'm going to show you what you all think we should know versus the actual sports trivia that we know.
Okay.
All right, Gary, you're going to be my guinea pig.
Okay.
These are the questions that everyone turns and looks at you at the bar when they ask them because you're a SportsCenter anchor.
Are these real questions that you've faced? Okay.
Ready? Who is the all-time leading scorer in the history of the English Premier League?
Wayne Rooney.
Who is the only athlete to win Olympic gold medals in both the 100 meter and 400 meter?
Duh. 100 meter and 400 meter. Oh, gosh. Jim Thorpe.
In which country was the sport of curling invented?
That's a Scandinavian country. One of them up there.
Which country won the first ever Cricket World Cup in 1975?
India. Don't even got to finish the sentence. All right.
Hey, I don't have answers to any of those things, but I'm pretty sure every single one of them was wrong. And that's my point. I am a SportsCenter anchor in the year 2024. Mm-hmm. I don't know who was the last person to ride Secretariat in 1946. I don't know. These are the questions that we know. You ready? I'm going to prove to you that we do know sports trivia. We just don't know the kind of sports trivia that you want us to know. What's the profession of Zion's baby mama?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, she's... What, can I say that?
Yes.
I think she's an adult entertainer.
Okay. Yeah. Why are you saying that as if that's a...
I don't know. I don't want to be out in people's day jobs or night jobs. She's a lady of the night.
What supermodel has Tom Brady been linked to since his divorce?
I know this one, but I don't know the name.
How do you know her, but you don't know the
name?
Sorry,
the F1 race in Vegas.
Okay. Her name is Arena Shank.
Yep.
Okay.
That's the one.
What is the most famous part of David Tyree's body?
David Tyree? His helmet?
And which fan base throws sex toys onto the field when they're mad?
Oh, was that Buffalo?
And lastly, who has the most embarrassing shoes for an NBA player?
Don't say Devin Booker. Don't say he's got the Ross specials on. All right?
No, it's Steph Curry.
Steph Curry, yeah.
So again, okay, as we say goodbye here on the L. Duncan Show, throw a little slack to your friend, sports aficionado, when you guys go to trivia. We're not sports historians.
Yeah.
Okay?
Why would you think that?
We're just regular people. We read OK Magazine.
No, we don't.
We're on TMZ.
No, we're not.
Gary's all over Reddit and OnlyFans. That's what we're about.
Can you just slide that one in there? Yo, but sub to my page, all right? The Kimchi. Good to be back in studio with you,
Elle. Great to be back in studio.
A couple more cameras in here, a couple more playback monitors in here. Mm-hmm. You'll be in Houston, and I guess I'll see you next week virtually.
We're going to have a national champion the next time that we talk, and I'm sure I'll have all kinds of stories about how I erroneously mispronounced the name of the Kids Bop stars. You know, Gary Stryski style.
Go Huskies. Hi-yo.